baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a downtrodden Bryant Denny Stadium here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And it's downtrodden because the number 11 Oklahoma Sooners trotted in here and walked away with a 23-21 victory over the number 4 Alabama Crimson Tide. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune, and this is the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners post-game podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. Exciting times down here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. John Mateer didn't have the greatest game, but he didn't need to when you have Eli Bowen, Peyton Bowen, Kip Lewis, Taylor Wine, and a host of other big-time defenders causing havoc and ruckus. You have special teams like Tate Sandell, Jaden Hardy popping it loose. You have Samuel Masigo getting the recovery. I mean, it was a fun day for Oklahoma. Wasn't pretty, but it was fun. And we're going to discuss all of that for you guys. But first, we got to thank our sponsors.
That we do, folks. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor here on the Under the Visor post-game podcast. Riverwind Casino has been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks to Jana King, the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. And boy, this is a heck of a stadium that we're in right now. But check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janaking.com. That's janaking.com. This episode also brought to you in part by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old, so keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two individual player stats. If your picks are correct, you could cash in and win real money. Prize Picks also offers injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, folks, a word from Hollow Socks. I'm on my feet a lot, Brandon. You got to have good socks. Mm-hmm. And in the winter, and winter is coming in Oklahoma, You got to have seasonally appropriate socks. And there is no more seasonally appropriate sock than Hollow Socks, which are made with baby alpaca fibers. And here's what that means, Brandon. Your feet are going to stay warm in the winter, but those socks will also help cool you off in the summertime. So they are perfectly suited for any temperature. And especially if you're a hunter, you spend time out in the deer blind or wherever. Hollow Socks are the best hunting socks you can buy. Reinforced heel and toe for ideal support, longevity. Hollow Socks are so much more than everyday socks. For a limited time, Hollow Socks is having a buy three, get three free sale. Head to hollowsocks.com today to check it out. That's hollowsocks.com for up to 50% off your order. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. You can support our show by telling them that we sent you. Now, Brandon, where do you even start with a game like this? The Sooners scored one offensive touchdown today. Okay. More often than not, That's not good enough to win on the road in the SEC.
Most definitely is not.
But it was somehow good enough today. And the one scoring drive, mind you, the one touchdown drive that Oklahoma had in this football game started deep in Alabama territory.
31-yard line.
Yes. After the fumble recovery by Sammy Omisigo when Jaden Hardy punched the ball out from Ryan Williams on a punt return. It was a two-play drive. John Mateer scores on a touchdown run. That's that. That was the only touchdown drive that Oklahoma had in this football game. But factor in an Eli Bowen pick six. Factor in three Tate Sandell field goals. And you get just enough. And that's what today, that's what it was about today for Oklahoma. Brandon, doing and getting just enough.
And that's all you need right now. 211 total yards for Oklahoma, I believe, was the exact total.
212.
212, excuse me. Oh, I missed it by a yard. I wouldn't be exact here. 212.
Missed your score prediction by a point, too.
I did miss the score prediction by a point.
Almost is the story of the week.
Two games in a row. But that's okay. I picked Oklahoma to win, and 23-20, they won.
I did not.
They won.
Oklahoma's 2-0 when I pick against them.
Yes.
This might be the cheat code right here.
And when that happens, honestly, I missed by one point. But to the credit, like, they don't have to play perfect because they had 212 total yards, which was the least amount that Oklahoma has accrued as an offense since 2001 versus Texas. And everybody remembers that was a 14-3 ball game. Defensive battle. That's what this was the defensive battle. This was two juggernaut defenses getting after each other. Now, granted, Ty Simpson, I believe, had close to 400 yards passing. He had 256 in the freaking first half. Insanity. But OU played bend but don't break defense.
They did.
And that's what you have to do in games like this. It's bend but don't break. Alabama did it as well. But the difference between Oklahoma and Alabama is Oklahoma has that dude named Tate Sandell that can kick it from the 50 on. He is an absolute beast. He's a weapon. And between OU's special teams and their defense, they didn't really need a standout day from their offense at all. Not at all.
Eli Bowen's probably going to need a security detail next time he comes back to this state.
Good God.
Because, boy, he terrorizes the Alabama Crimson Tide. He had that game-changing interception of Jalen Milroe a year ago when Oklahoma upset Alabama at Owen Field. He didn't quite house that one. He housed it this year. 87 yards, coast to coast, at a time when Oklahoma was up 3-0. It was still the first quarter. We were still kind of getting a feel for what the game flow would look like.
Yep.
And that was a huge momentum swing because all of a sudden it looked, for a moment, as though Alabama was going to go in and score. And then it's 7 points on the board for Oklahoma. They're up 10-0.
And they got away with another, like, I don't want to say got away with, like, the, sure, I it was pass interference by rule, if you will, but if you were actually, it's passing, always subjective. Was it really catchable for Alabama's receiver Bernard going across the middle there? Because the ball was thrown way out in front, and RSJ almost had a pick as well. But
well, he did have a pick.
Well, he did, but yeah, he just got flagged, and it probably shouldn't have, but it did. I mean, Kendall Daniels grabbed the arm, but that's the type of night it was for Oklahoma. You get inside the 20, and they would just clamp it down. That play right there, though, I would say three plays kind of described Oklahoma in a nutshell tonight. And that was obviously the first – Oklahoma stopped Alabama the first two drives that they had, right? They forced them to punt. But the first punt that they did when Satania bounced off the defender and ran it like 40 yards and got Oklahoma on the plus side, they kick a field goal. They come down. Pick six happens right after Kobe McKenzie did not jump on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Saved his butt, by the way. And later on in the game, you flip the punt return situation, and Jaden Harding knocks the ball out of Ryan Williams' hands. Sammy Omisigo recovers it. Oklahoma only gets 3 points, I believe. No, did they get seven on that one as well? They did. I think that's where Mateer ran it in, right?
On a fumbled punt return, yeah. 2 plays
Mateer
later,
runs it in. Scored. That's your 17 points right there. And that kind of defined and set Oklahoma up for victory because that at that point, Bama was still always playing catch-up. And by the time they got to the point where they were ahead of Oklahoma 21-20, Oklahoma already had all the confidence in the world that they could win the ballgame. Now, we didn't feel like they could at all. That was a good catch. Now, we didn't feel like they could. But they did down there. And that's the most important thing.
Talked about it in the rapid reaction video that we did on our YouTube channel, Brandon. But this game felt so much like Tennessee.
It did.
It felt so much like the game 2 weeks ago, both in a specific sense when you drill down to just the flow of the game and how it all unfolded, but also in a big picture sense. Walking away from Neyland Stadium, walking out of Neyland Stadium that night, the prevailing sentiment was, man, Oklahoma really didn't play very well. But they won. They played better than the opposition. They fought tooth and nail for 60 minutes, and they won. And it was very much the same thing tonight, where all in all, Oklahoma really didn't play a very good football game. But they made the plays when they had to have them.
At what point do we just say this is who they are?
Yeah.
This is who they are. They're just, and it, they just win. They just know how to win.
And it feels like that's a switch that's been flipped, because Brent Venables' first three teams at the University of Oklahoma, it felt like they were predisposed to lose games like this.
Yeah.
And here in 2025, they're winning these games when they're not at their best. And they're not playing A-level football or even B-level football.
So everybody wants to talk about 63-14 in 2000 when Oklahoma blew out. They blew out Texas. And that's, everybody remembers that. They remember the 31-14 win, comeback win over Nebraska, right? Everybody remembers those two games.
I know where this is going.
But think about every other damn game that they played, Parker.
A&M, Oklahoma State,
yeah,
Kansas State.
Like, just ugly, ugly, ugly wins that they had to crawl and scratch and do. When you play, and remember that Big 12 was like the SEC back then. When you play in a league like this, you have to be able to win these type of games and win them consistently. And I'm here to say it, like, I think as much crap as John Mateer gets, I think we can all sit here and say his mentality, his leadership has completely transformed this program. It has. The only difference is John Mateer from last year. That's it. That's really it. Like, they're just different.
What happened in 2000? Red October. What's happening here in 2025? They're calling it Red November.
Yeah.
Shout out Ronnie Crimson. Shout out Grimlock's Army. That's what they're calling it, Brandon. And the Red November hashtag was getting thrown around after the Tennessee win, and that was one win, and it was great. But I think everybody understood there was a larger test that lay ahead here in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. And the Sooners passed, man. They passed. They scraped by some way, somehow. They got it done. A couple individual shout-outs that are more than due tonight. Kip Lewis was huge for Oklahoma. And Kip Lewis, in many ways, is the heart and soul of the Oklahoma defense and has been the last couple of years. He brings so much energy, so much juice. He walks into these road venues every time, and he's talking smack to the student section. He's got that swagger as he meanders around the field, both in pregame and during the game. And then he goes and backs it up on the field, as he did tonight. Seven tackles led the team. Two sacks also led the team. And there might not have been a bigger play for Oklahoma in the second half of this game, and we'll get to another contender here in a minute. But that sack of Ty Simpson that put Alabama in a highly adverse situation, mm-hmm, where it wound up being third and 21 with less than 2 minutes to play. Enormous, enormous situational football there from R. Mason Thomas. Phenomenal play in a moment where, again, Oklahoma had to have it. Alabama was starting to chip away.
Lewis? You said R. Mason, I think.
Did I say R. Mason?
You said R. Mason.
Ah.
But he made
I'm so used to R. Mason Thomas making big plays. It's just ingrained into the mind at this point. But yes, Alabama was starting to chip away. They were starting to make progress down the field. And then Kip Lewis records that sack of Ty Simpson.
11-yard loss.
And Alabama sputtered.
Yeah.
And Taylor Wine.
Dog.
Taylor, like, there is absolutely no debate whatsoever. And I tweeted this. Taylor Wine is one of the five best players on Oklahoma's entire roster.
Was it that dude, discussion, by the way?
Comes through time and time and time again.
Yep.
From blocking the Connor Tolte field goal at the end of the first half that would have tied the game for Alabama, to coming up with a strip sack of Ty Simpson, that set Oklahoma up deep in opposing territory in the second half, their third quarter, I do believe. It was Kendall Daniels that jumped on it.
The last pass that rushed Ty Simpson as well. Made him throw it short.
We said it going in, said it all week.
Yeah.
With our Mason Thomas unlikely to play, this had to be a game where Taylor Wine showed up. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Wine has shown up every single week this season for Oklahoma, without exception. Even Texas. You think there was so much that went wrong against Texas. Taylor Wine had one of his best days of the season against Texas. Mm-hmm. The dude does not take a playoff. He does not take a game off. He is consistently excellent for this defense.
Talked about it on the way down, and we were trying to figure out if we were literally trying to, we were actively trying to find people that were better than Taylor Wine, just so y'all.
Well, understand. I mean, two of the top five right now are Taylor Wine and Tate Sandell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there might not be a more valuable football player on Oklahoma's roster right now than Tate Sandell. If you're talking about the guys that have most impacted their last two wins,
true.
These two road wins in Neyland and Bryant Denny, if Tate Sandell isn't number one, he's there in the conversation.
Yeah, look. Again, like we were trying to figure out every which way possible of guys that maybe were better than Taylor Wine. Unequivocally, you might be able to name three. And I say, and I want to capitalize the word might all the way across in bold and underline it and italicize it. And it just, he changes everything. The last play, I have the video of the last play. I'm standing like on the sideline, standing there as it's happening, like 10 feet away, 10 yards away from the actual play. And Taylor Wine is bearing down on Ty Simpson the second his back foot hits in his drop. He had to release it. It was release or die.
Yep.
And so, yeah. Then you name Kip Lewis. And mind you, we talked about it on the rapid reaction. Kip Lewis was cramping. Yeah, like something wrong with his hip or thigh area, cramping. Joe C is standing there and he goes, go dance. So Dixieland Delight starts playing and he's out there dancing in the middle of the field trying to loosen it up. 2 minute warning.
Next play.
Ends. Next play. Sack for 11 yard loss. Dog. Dog play. Toughness. And then as they come off the field after the fourth down, Joe C is standing there because he told him to like toughen up and stuff like this before the 2 minute. And they look at each other. I have it on video and he goes, ah, and just like, they're like commencing. As you talk about Kip Lewis talking to the fans, he runs directly over to that bench standing right over there. You can't see it in the background, but it's there. Stands up and waves bye. And I quote, see y'all asses later. Bye.
He wants all the smoke every single time, man. And he's the type of dude that will go out there and back it up. He's
not just
a talker.
It was awesome.
He will walk the walk too.
Hey, Sooners fans, we'll get you right back to the video. But first, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. SeatGeek is also the official ticket marketplace for the Oklahoma Sooners, so all Sooners tickets on SeatGeek are authentic and secure. I love using SeatGeek. We already used it with my family to buy Oklahoma Sooners home games. We are going to use it again for Missouri and LSU. We used it for Shane Gillis earlier this season, the concert. We used it for Dave Chappelle. We used it for Oklahoma City's professional team. When they were making that run for the title, we used it. SeatGeek is not just a place to buy tickets, but it's also a place to make sure you're getting a good deal on your purchase. So if you're wondering if you're spending too much or being overpriced, SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated on a scale from 1 to 10, so you know you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dot, which green means good, red dot, red means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. After we tell you all those cool features, of course, OU Insider has a code for you guys. So you can use the code OU Insider to make sure you get your 10% off your next ticket purchase on SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with the promo OU Insider. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app so that you have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek.
Brandon, provided Oklahoma does not lose their next two football games against Missouri and LSU, this team is going to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Because realistically, they can split the rest of the way. They could split Missouri and LSU, go 9-3, and their resume is strong enough at this point that they're almost assuredly getting in.
Yeah, but you're traveling at that point.
Yes. It could be the difference between traveling and hosting, whether you win these next two.
Yep.
But Oklahoma's a college football playoff team, man. Like, this is real.
Insane.
It is real, and it is spectacular. But, man, they are tied right now for most ranked wins in the country. They have four of them.
Isn't that Auburn? Because they were ranked. They were like 23rd or 25th, something like that.
Offhand, it would have to. Well, because Michigan, Tennessee, and Bama are easily three, so the fourth would have to be Auburn.
Yeah.
Would almost have to be. But the thing about this team, man, that is so, so impressive, when we just take stock of what they have done to this point in the year, there's nothing that jumps out at me quite like 3-0 in true SEC road games. They had to go to Williams-Brice Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They throttled South Carolina. They had to go to Neyland Stadium on dark mode night and deal with that hornet's nest of 102,000 people. And they won. And they had to come here to Bryant-Denny, famously one of the best environments in the sport.
It ended up being a night game, by the way.
And it did end up being a night game because it gets dark early out here.
Awesome.
It was dark by 4:30, something like that.
It was awesome.
They took care of business yet again. Yeah. And it was not easy, and it was not pretty, and it really hasn't been any step of the way for this football team. But here they sit, and that to me is the biggest resume booster that they're going to have on Selection Sunday. Whether it comes down to if they're in or not, or whether it simply comes down to seeding, they went 3-0 on the road in the SEC.
Just
that is genuinely, truly, unambiguously remarkable.
Just this team just has the goods, man. I don't know what to say. Like, you want to find some negativity, you can point to the offense. They didn't put a lot of points up, but they did what they had to do. They put points on the board. That's the thing. Like, they legitimately put points on the board. They just didn't do it in the fashion that a lot of fans would like. But you're beating top 10 teams, Parker, top five teams on the road.
Double-edged sword, right? Yes, this offense is going to have to play better if Oklahoma wants to go and win a national championship.
Yes.
That's absolutely the case. This offense is going to have to take a step forward. John Mateer is going to have to take a step forward. But guess what? Right now, it doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered. This team is winning in spite of their offensive stagnation. John Mateer was 15 for 23 for 138 yards today. Oklahoma's leading rusher, Xavier Robinson, who had 34 yards on the ground. It was a wholly unimpressive, uninspiring offensive performance for Oklahoma. And sure, that's concerning, because if you want to see this team go compete for a championship, they do have to take that next step on the offensive side of the ball, especially because the defense and the special teams units are handling theirs right now.
Yeah.
But boy, is it a tantalizing thought to consider what this team is capable of if they start to play the type of offense that we saw them playing before John Mateer's thumb surgery.
Yeah, see, look, first off, Xavier Robinson, that dude's got some balls, man. He was miserable after the game. Like, everybody knows he was my neighbor. His family's my neighbor. So he walks up to me after the game, we're on the field, and his eyes, there wasn't a smile. There was nothing. Nothing, just, hey, man, how you doing? And I said, bro, you just won. Congratulations. He goes, yeah. I said, are you going to be okay? He said, yeah, I'll be fine. I just hurt.
Yep.
He was hurting. They had him in the tent for like 30 minutes. The longest I've ever seen anybody in a tent, by the way. And when he came out, they tried to put him through so many things. He begged and begged and begged to go onto the field. Like, literally, I watched him beg the trainers. They weren't going to let him. He took his helmet and basically just put it on and said, I'm going. And he went in there and toughed it out.
What a dog.
He's a dog, dude. The dude's amazing. He's awesome. 34 yards a knot. Him not being in there changed a lot of how Ben Arbuckle calls, particularly short yardage, because they didn't have you. The short yardage where they go outside with Torrey Blaylock, you're probably running up the gut on that thing, or at least maybe a split zone with Xavier Robinson, and he's going to lean forward, and he's going to get you three, and you're going to get a first down. Unfortunately, you didn't have him at the time. So it changed a lot of how Ben Arbuckle had to call. You needed him. And if you can have him healthy, and you can get that run game going, and you can get John Mateer, who looked at times as comfortable as he's going to be in the pocket, by the way, the offensive line is starting to gel in pass blocking.
I will say, on that note, I'm going to be curious to see what Oklahoma does for the final two games at right tackle, because they were playing roulette today with Ryan Foje and Derek Simmons. Both of those guys were swapping each other out regularity.
Not Ryan, but I think they were trying to keep Simmons happy. Is what it is. They didn't. It wasn't a lot. Like, I didn't see Simmons out there a lot. I only saw him like three series, right?
That's probably what it was, three or four series. But that's close to half the game. How many offensive possessions at Oklahoma? I think that's seven.
Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't understand it, but at the same time, he is really good. Like, I think we forget how good how good Derek Simmons is.
Did you almost say Ben Simmons there?
I did almost say Ben Simmons. Yeah, well.
It's a good thing Ben Simmons isn't on this team.
It's a very good thing, actually. But yeah, Derek Simmons, we forget how good he is. I guess that's another positive. If he's healthy, we were now super deep at right tackle. And by the way, you're going to be getting Jake Sexton back at some point, so your left tackle is going to be getting even deeper. I don't know how much rotation they're going to do there, but you at least have something ready, right?
Also officially insured today that Michael Hawkins will get to preserve his red shirt in 2025. So for those that were tracking that situation, he can redshirt. It does not matter if he plays every single game the rest of the way for Oklahoma. His redshirt status is secure. So there's that. JerMichael Carter, man, only three catches for 36 yards, which actually led the team. But I really liked what I saw from JerMichael Carter, man.
That series where he caught three passes in a row. Two passes in a row was awesome. And mind you, was that the play that he hit where Mateer, I don't have no idea how he got, it was like a third and long when he caught that pass, right? And Mateer slides up in the pocket and they almost hit the ball out of his hands. And as he's getting hit, he throws a freaking frozen rope over the second layer.
Yep.
To JerMichael Carter. And then Carter takes it for like another 15 yards. So that was to me, I think that was the best offensive play of the game.
It may have been.
As far as like necessity, the moment. Oh, you needed that first down because you didn't want the defense back on the field after that because they're getting tired at that point. They needed more time off the clock, a little bit of reserve in the tank, if you will. So, yeah, JerMichael Carter was great. So was, oh my gosh, just went blank. Javonte Gibson. Javonte Gibson had a pretty big game. Like, all things considered, yardage-wise, he made big plays in big moments when they needed it. I think there was.
Where did he have three catches?
Yeah, but that one went for like 20 yards.
He did have back-to-back first down catches on one of Oklahoma's late drives there in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Which I don't think that drive culminated in points.
It didn't,
I think that was the drive where John Mateer committed intentional grounding to take Oklahoma out of field goal range.
And it was right before the 5-minute mark or so, 6-minute mark in the fourth quarter. But it took a lot of time. I think they took like 4 minutes off the clock that drive, though. Mm-hmm. So that's what they needed to do. That's why I'm saying, like, it was a big moment in the game to keep moving the ball down the field.
This team, man, this feels special.
It does.
This feels like they might have some special ingredients here in 2025. I don't know how long they're going to be able to stretch this thing, but I think when you look at college football right now, from a big picture perspective, is there one team that you feel like is invincible?
Like
this, it's starting to feel a lot like 2017 in that the national title is there for the taking if Oklahoma puts their best together, if they're able to find and play their best football, because we have not seen this team's best yet.
No.
I don't know if we've seen anything close to this team's best. If they can find that, if they can flip that switch at some point over the next 2 weeks, and truly be firing on all cylinders heading into the postseason, this is a team that can play with and beat anybody in America. We saw evidence of that tonight.
Yeah.
That's the number four team in the nation that hadn't lost since the season opener.
It's big. Like, you broke their 17-game home win streak, by the way.
Kalen DeBoer is now 16-1 in the black hoodie.
By the way, he wore the black hoodie, I believe, last year against Oklahoma as well.
No, he did not.
He didn't?
He did not.
No. Why did somebody, why did there was like multiple tweets out there saying that? Okay. Needless to say, okay, 17-1. Oh, good for them. 16-1, is that what you said? 16-1?
16-1 in the black hoodie.
Good for him. That one loss stings. And this team has a lot of it, depending on how, like, if they win their next two ball games, you get home field advantage. You could get home field advantage. I think you would travel to, second round would be, is it at home or would you go to a bowl at that point?
Home games are in the first round only. Okay. First round or home games, then you have neutral sites for the quarterfinals.
And the quarterfinal, one of them is at the Cotton Bowl. I would almost guarantee they would have Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl, depending if they were that low down there.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves quite yet. Enjoying Red November, no doubt.
We're playing what ifs at this point. Could you imagine the semifinal game being in Dallas?
Well, I mean, can you imagine having a college football game in Norman, Oklahoma?
No doubt. We talked about it on the Rapid Reaction, dude. Like, your options right now, as it stands, because you're not going to get, unless you keep winning and you somehow move up to the five, you're not going to get the G5, and that would just suck if that was your home game, just getting, like, James Madison or some bull crap like that. Please don't. Please don't. But let's say you're six, right? Let's say you're sixth. You get either Texas, Miami, or Notre Dame. Oh, give it all to me, dude. Give it all to me. That would be the most epic games ever, if those were your options. And maybe you get Michigan again, if they somehow coerce themselves into a 9-3 and back themselves into a third Big Ten team. Like, that's an option. Or did USC lose today?
I do not know.
If they didn't lose, we don't know. It was post-game, by the way. We haven't seen it. Could you imagine Lincoln Riley coming back?
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm just throwing out scenarios. I'm having fun with this. This is fun. It's good times.
That would be electric. It's the best of times, right?
It is the best of times.
Oklahoma is winning football games. They are nationally competitive. They are officially in the championship hunt and established themselves as such tonight.
They won, by the way.
And a couple of plays that before we wrap up here, Brandon, I do want to highlight that maybe flew under the radar. Alabama's penultimate offensive possession.
Mm-hmm.
There were back-to-back plays made by guys that didn't do a ton in this football game that really jumped out at you, other than these two plays to me. But I believe it was 2nd and 6. Kobe McKenzie brings down, I want to say it was Daniel Hill. It was Daniel Hill or Jam Miller, one of the two. He makes a tackle in space on the edge to bring down the Alabama back. And if he misses the tackle there.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. That was a great play.
That goes for a chunk gain.
Yep.
Alabama's moving the chains. That clock keeps rolling. As it stands, McKenzie does make the play. It's a gain of 1 yard. On the very next play, Union Red Hawk, Davon Jordan.
Sack. Dude, he lit.
Bonsai mode on the corner blitz, excuse me.
Heels.
Blitz. I forgot how to talk. Corner blitz. First career sack for Davon Jordan. Bold call by Brent Venables in that moment, but absolutely flawless.
He lit Hill up. It wasn't
Miller. Yeah, lit Hill up, went right through him,
yeah,
and then wrapped up Ty Simpson like an anaconda.
He lit him up. And I mean, that was epic. Epic call. Did you see what caused that to happen? Because Hill was confused,
mm-hmm,
because Danny Okoye's first step on that was I've never seen somebody shoot. He shot out of a cannon, forced Ty Simpson to slide up into the pocket. Davon Jordan just barrels through Hill and just wraps up. Now, Okoye doesn't get credited for the sack,
But one of those things you don't see in the box score.
It was
awesome.
You had
to have watched the game to appreciate it.
Awesome.
But Yenny Okoye, man. And this, to me, the bigger point I wanted to make here is it just underscores one of the emerging realities for this Oklahoma team as we've gotten a chance to watch it now for 10 games. Well, the talent and the youth, obviously. But also, man, anybody and everybody can make a play when you need one. It's not just, it's not as if the Sooners are relying on one guy or two guys or three guys to carry them to victory. It takes a village. It's been that way all season for Oklahoma. And it was certainly true tonight.
Yeah.
Because without those two plays from Kobe McKenzie and Davon Jordan, even though those won't make the highlight reel, those were two plays that were absolutely integral in helping Oklahoma to win this football game.
There were several big plays today that you look at and you say, big, big, big. I'll even go to the second down. I want to say inside. It was right before the half, by the way. Ty Simpson throws the ball across the middle to Bernard and overthrows him, right? He overthrew him because I believe, David Stone was in his face at the time. So he overthrows. The very next play, Oklahoma stops. They throw a little quick out to try to, right, to try to get a little bit closer. And then Taylor Wine blocks the field goal. Jumps over the center and blocks the field goal going into half to make it 17, keep it 17-14.
Brilliant play by Taylor Wine there, too, because if you're too heavy with those hands, you get called for leverage on that play. And then that's a half the distance penalty from where Alabama was. That makes it a chip shot. I mean, it's going through the uprights. So to not only have the chutzpah to attempt that play in the first place.
Chutzpah. Nice wording. Okay.
Not only to have the boldness to even attempt that in the first place, but also to execute it such that you don't get flagged for what is a very common penalty when guys try that. Taylor Wine, man, he's
talking about he's good at football.
He's very good at football.
Yeah.
This has been, to me, easily the breakout star of 2025 for Oklahoma, more so than anybody else, because you counted on Jaden Jackson being good. You counted on John Mateer being good. You counted on a guy like Isaiah Satania being good. R. Mason Thomas, certainly. Mm-hmm. Taylor Wine, though? Were we having all SEC conversations or anything resembling?
He is that.
With Taylor Wine, but that's what he is.
Yeah, he is that. Real quickly before we go, offensive, defensive MVP, and I'll do mine real quick.
Okay. My offensive MVP. Man, that's a tough one.
It's tough because it was awful.
I feel like, okay, gotta go with John Mateer. He had the lone touchdown. Had a very nondescript day for the most part, but got at the very least got the Sooners in position for some Tate Sandell field goals, which were badly needed. So he needs to clean up his game. It was not a perfect outing by any means or anything remotely resembling it, but all in all, I think I would almost have to go with John Mateer tonight.
Yeah. Offensively for me, I'm going to say Isaiah Satania just because of the punt return as well. I'm going to throw
we'll
that
count it.
I'm going to, yeah. He had some big catches on second and third downs as well that were critical at the time. It felt like to begin early in the game, it felt like it was going to be a Deion Burke game, by the way.
It did feel like that.
And then all of a sudden,
on
he
the
just
first drive.
Was gone after that. But yeah, I'll go Satania. You know, screw that. I'm going to go Xavier Robinson because he came in banged up and got some critical third downs, you know, third and one, third and two plays, and kept leaning forward and getting 4 yards here or there. And
always they stopped forward, man.
And they stopped using him as much as they were going to because of his knee. But him being in there still allowed Oklahoma to do things that they can't do when he's not in there because you have to account for 24. Mm-hmm. So I'll go Xavier Robinson. Not a great game, but a tough game that he showed his mettle. And I thought that was very important.
Who do you want on the defensive side? Who are you going with? several quality candidates.
Yeah, there's so many really good candidates on defense. Just checking it out. I'll go Kip Lewis.
Yep.
You can go. I know you.
I'll pick Taylor Wine, yeah. Man. Yeah, Kip Lewis, Taylor Wine. Those are the guys that will receive the most votes tonight for their respective performances because they made the biggest plays for Oklahoma. And Eli Bowen, certainly, that pick six.
Shoot.
I mean, you don't win without that pick six. Not only the interception itself, but the run back.
Peyton Bowen, if you wanted to. He had several big passes.
And he was in on that fourth and eight.
Final one.
On the very, very last play of the game.
And you know what? He wasn't even supposed to be covering that guy.
He just picked it up?
No, how that went, little story for you guys before we go. Kendall Daniels said, I'll take the back. You take the guy, the outside receiver, because it was supposed to be flipped where Kendall Daniels takes the outside receiver and Peyton Bowen. And Peyton Bowen, and I quote, said, cool, game on, let's do this. That's exactly what he said in the interview. Game on, let's do this. And it was game on. And he said he knew they were going to go quick because they already tried to cut it. And they knew the pass rush was coming. They thought Oklahoma was going to blitz. He was thinking about all this. And he said, so I knew my guy was going to run a quick either slant or hitch trying to get open or a whip route, one of the three. And he said, I understood it. I understood my leverage. And that's how I played it. And that's why I was where I was. He's so smart. That's a smart football player. So I mad respect to Peyton Bowen on that final play. So anyways, that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners post-game podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. Oklahoma 23, Alabama 21. What a day for the Sooners. And we're going to have so much more for you post-game over on OUinsider.com. We'll have more here over on whatever podcasting platform, whatever YouTube you're watching right here. Subscribe to any one of those platforms. But be sure you go over to OUinsider.com because recruiting is heating up.
Oh, it's going
to
pop off.
It is. I'm telling you right now, there's already been tweets about it by one Hayes Fawcett. So that means there's news coming. We're going to have all that for you over at OUinsider.com. Type in OUinsider.com in your URL. Go there. Click that join now button and join us right now for $1 the first week. We promise you, you're going to love it. It's the holiday season. It's bowl season coming around the corner. It's playoff season coming around the corner. It's National Signing Day season. So information galore is going to happen. The busiest time of the year for us over at OUinsider.com. So make sure you're there with us. Join the thousands and thousands of OU fans that are already there popping. It was so busy during the game, and it's going to stay busy because OU's trying to close out the 26 class. They had the number one 2027 class, and they're about to close in on some very, very big time players there. And we have all that information for you over at OUinsider.com VIP. Again, OUinsider.com, type it in the URL, click the green button that says join now, go over there, sign up, $1 for the first week. Plus, you get the Athletic for a whole year complimentary on three and OU Insider as well. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum, Oklahoma 23, Alabama 21. That's going to do it for us right here at Bryant-Denny Stadium. You guys, take care.